Well, good morning and welcome to Genesis Church. We're so glad that you're part of our church gathering today. And if you happen to be new here with us, we're a church where everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect and anything's possible. We have a real simple but clear and compelling mission, and that mission is to see all people take their next step with Jesus. That's our hope for you today. That's our goal for you today, that you would take one step closer to Jesus because every step matters and every step counts. If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 1. We're going to continue today our series 1. And haven't you noticed that one thing can change everything in your life? It doesn't matter if it's a relationship. You meet one person, and that one person changes the way that you think about the world. They change the way that you spend money. They change where you live and ultimately what you do, because one relationship can change everything. Now, isn't it true in parenting? I mean, one child can change your life. Nothing has humbled me more than parenting. I was an expert at parenting until I became a parent. One child can change everything. They can change when you sleep and even if you get to sleep, because one child can change everything. I mean, one job can change everything. And some of you know that. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago that you started a new job. And in starting a new job, that one job changed so much about your life. It can change the size of your bank account. It can change the friendship circles that you're part of. It can change the things that you become really passionate about, because one job can change everything. One thing can change everything. Now, we started off this series and we were looking at taking life one day at a time, discovering one word for a new year. And then last week was such a great time. We slowed down and we focused on making one decision at a time. The story of your life and the story of my life will be told one decision at a time. Our decisions matter. Our private decisions have public implications. Every decision we make matters in the story of our life. The story of our life is written one decision at a time. Now, I asked you last week a question, and I hope you've been thinking about it this week. I hope you think about it all throughout this year. And the question was simply this: who is your one? Jesus changed the world one person at a time, making one decision at a time. That's how Jesus changed the world. And so I asked you last week, I said, who's your one? And afterwards, several of you sent me text and you let me know some of the people that God placed in your life. And someone said, you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start finding my one. And I really hope that's the case in your life. There's one person that God has in your life this year that you can help move closer to Jesus. Now, this past week, I have great relationships with several of the pastors in our county. We live in a county of over 200,000 people, and it's a large county. And I talked with several of the pastors this week, and I asked them, I said, would you mind sharing with me the people that you were able to introduce to Jesus in 2020? I know it was a difficult year, but I'm curious what God allowed us to do together. I just want to celebrate this with you today because I think it's wonderful. It turns out that in 2020, just in our county, Baldwin County, that we had over 2,500 people last year who started a relationship with God. Eternity changed. Now, to put that in perspective, that's like 1% of the people who call Baldwin County home. There were a lot of people last year who said, I know my one. And they reached out and they invited and they shared, and their lives have been never the same again. And guess what? God's inviting you to do the same thing this year. We can make a difference together. Jesus changed the world one person at a time, one decision at a time. And today, I want to move from taking it one year at a time to discovering one word at a time to making one decision at a time. And I want to slow down and I want to look at unleashing generosity in our lives $1 at a time. That's right, folks. Today, we are going to talk about money. And I know, several of us, we probably were a part of a church that seemed to all they talked about was money. And maybe you were part of a church that never talked about money. Maybe you were part of a home that never talked about money. I actually grew up in a wonderful home. I love my mom. I love my dad. I honor them both. But I don't remember any conversation that we had deliberately about how you manage money. Now, I'm probably all the way on the other side when it comes to my kids. I'm on the other side because my life has been changed in this area. And so it's not uncommon that I'll sit down in a given week with my kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I'll sit down and I'll say, and my daughter has heard this since really 1 year of age. I said, you know, what can you do with money? To which she'll respond typically by slightly rolling her eyes. Well, you can save it, you can spend it, and you can give it. I mean, when you think about money, those are the three things that you can do with money. I shared with you a few weeks ago, I had to introduce new language to my daughter because we give her a $5 commission each week, and she gets that on Saturday. And I took her to the zoo, which around here we have a new zoo, and you should really check it out. And I decided to take her to the zoo, and you have to go through this area where you can pick up gifts. They're really strategic that way. Before we even made it out, she wanted to spend every single dollar she didn't have because she had already spent her $5 for the week. And I kept saying, no, I'm sorry, we cannot get that small giraffe that costs $7,000. We're not getting that one. And we made it over to where the lion exhibit is, and I finally pulled her over and I said, you know, Dad tells you there's only three things you can do with money. You can give, you can save, and you can spend. I want to tell you something new, and it's a word that I want you to learn. And the word that I want you to learn today is the word broke. You are broke. Broke means out of money. You have no more money. So I want you to take that. I want you to learn it. I want you to accept it. You know, we talk to our kids often about these three things, and you may have wondered. I know for a long time I didn't understand this. In God's economy, a kingdom way of stewarding resources, it's actually really, really simple. Our world, our culture looks at money and we say, well, you can save, you can spend, you can give. The only difference, really, the kingdom way is the priority in which we put those together. The kingdom way is that we begin with giving, and then we move to saving, and then we move to spending. Now, all of us tend to either be a saver or a spender. Just curious, raise your hand if you are a saver in the room. Okay, how many of you are a spender in the room? Several people are nudging the person next to them right now. We typically think about giving and saving, but here's what I want to do. I used to be really, really nervous about talking about money, and I'm not anymore. And I got to tell you the reason why. It's because Jesus has changed my life, and I just believe messages like this could help at least one person, and your life could be different. $1 at a time. You may understand about what it looks like to save and to spend, but what would happen if you started to unleash generosity in your life? Stewarding and unleashing generosity, $1 at a time. I'm talking about money because you know who talks about money? Jesus talks about money. And here's something I didn't understand, and maybe you've never heard. But Jesus actually talks about money more than he talks about prayer. Jesus talks more about money than he actually talks about studying scripture. Jesus talks more about money than he talks about fasting. It was important to Jesus. And here's what I think we do in the local church. And just give me space for a moment. I really think we miss this so much. Because for Jesus, our spiritual health and our financial health were actually interconnected. And we love to talk about discipleship. We just rarely ever talk about how we handle money. But the way we handle money is always a discipleship issue. It's always a discipleship issue. And I think here's what Jesus knew that I think we need to know. And if you don't hear anything else I say, please hear this. If you don't write anything else down, please write this down. There's nothing that comes through our hands that competes for our heart like money. There's nothing that comes through our hands that competes for our heart like money. Money is never emotionally neutral. Have you noticed that? Money is never emotionally neutral. It always reveals what we value and who we trust. So if you're a family and you value adventure, and I had an opportunity to follow you around for a year, chances are you're going to invest your money in some type of adventure. If you enjoy a particular hobby, it's really something you value. If I were able to follow you around for a year, chances are I would see a trail of how you invest your money. This is what Jesus was getting at when he said, right after, and you have to get this, right after teaching the disciples about prayer, he goes into this specific teaching about money. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And here it is. This is so good. Don't miss this. This is so good. "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So important. I missed this for years. I just got to confess to you, I missed this for years. When we direct our treasures, Jesus is saying, that's when we direct our heart. It's not the other way around. And for years, this is how I thought about resources and giving and all kinds of different things. I thought that wait till I really, really care about something. And when I really, really care about something, then I might direct finances towards it. Jesus says, no. That's not the way you actually increase generosity in your life. It's actually quite the opposite, that whenever you direct your treasure, that's when you direct your heart. If you want to direct your heart, well, think about what it looks like to direct your treasure. In other words, as go my treasures, so go my heart. Now, this is really odd for me. Can I just admit this? Because Jesus didn't even have a home. His earthly time, I mean, he was homeless. He never took up a personal offering. And yet, he's connecting this to the way people follow him. He knows how important this is. Think about this for a moment. The health and enjoyment of the relationships in your life, are they not connected to the relationship of your finances to some degree? I mean, think about this. The health and enjoyment of your work, is it not connected in some way to the relationship of finances in our life? The point is that how we handle money is always a discipleship issue, and there's nothing that's going to come through our hands that will compete for our hearts like our finances. And so here's what I believe. I want you to know this. I believe you are at your best. I believe our church is at its best when we steward and unleash generosity $1 at a time. Now, I want to invite you to make your way over to this moment in Luke chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 1 to verse 4. It's a small story about a no-name woman who was in poverty. It's easy to skip over. It's only 4 verses long, and yet I think it teaches us so much. It's impacted my life, and if you'll open your life to it, it'll impact yours as well. So here we are. We enter in Luke chapter 21. Look with me at verse 1. This takes place in the temple. "As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you," he said, "the poor widow has put in more than all the others." Highlight, underline, circle. "All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave her gifts out of her poverty. She gave all that she had to live on." Now, in this day, there's no paper currency. And so when people go to the temple and they practice something like giving, there are these bronze containers, and you would take coins and you would put these coins into the containers. And so if you were around, you could hear the sound when people gave. And some people were known for taking all their coins and throwing them in those containers. And there was such a loud noise that it would get everyone's attention. And here comes this woman, a no-named, impoverished woman. And she takes 2 coins and she drops those 2 coins into the container, and it makes a sound. And this is something that screams out of this particular moment. And that is that heaven hears things differently than we do. The noise that gets heaven's attention is different than the noise that gets Earth's attention. This woman comes onto the scene and no one even notices, and she drops these two coins. It hardly makes a sound, but it is loud in heaven, I want to tell you. More. Verse 3. This poor widow has put in more than all of the others. It's easy to wait a minute and say, I appreciate the story, I like reading it, but let's be intellectually honest. She didn't give more. Certainly she didn't. There were people there who had more money than she did, and they dropped it into the container. Surely she didn't give more, because we immediately go to a math equation. If I ask you, is 10 more than 5? You're going to say yes. But Jesus uses the word more differently. It's one of the things that I want to leave you with today. The coin itself technically is called a mite. A mite in current standards would be 1/64th of an average day's wage. So if you were to take, in our modern context, someone who made $8 an hour and they worked for 8 hours, that would be $64. If you were to go 1/64th of that, it would be $1. It's basically what she has, dear. Now, when you came in, we actually gave you an envelope. And I'd like you to reach into that envelope, because in that envelope, you'll find a dollar. I want you to pull it out. Can you just hold that for a few moments? I actually want you to keep it, and I'll tell you what to do with it. But just hold on to that dollar for a moment. She gave two of those that you're holding. And we can look down and we can say, that's just not much. But sometimes we're focused so much on the sum total that we miss the sacrifice and we miss the power of what can happen when we steward and unleash $1 at a time. We steward and unleash $1 at a time. Hasn't been that long ago. There was a particular person, his name's Jared Walker. He was watching a video about a couple that were struggling with medical debt. He wondered, what can I do? I really don't have much to bring to the table. But as he creatively thought about it, he eventually started a nonprofit. And it was a nonprofit based on a simple premise. And the simple premise was giving $1 a month and taking that $1 and attempting to eradicate medical debt. He invited a few friends, and those friends invited a few friends. And last year, $1 a month seems insignificant. It seems like it's not much. All of them gave, and together, they were able to wipe out $3 million of medical debt. $1 doesn't seem much. But I promise you, $3 million worth of medical debt meant a lot to the people who received that. There's power in stewarding and unleashing $1 at a time. All she has is a mite. It's like having a dollar. And it's easy to look at that and just go, yeah, but that's not much. But this is what gets the attention of heaven. This is what gets the attention of Jesus. Now, I thought about, why does this get the attention of Jesus? Like, if she does that and I'm around her and she happens to hand me those $2, I probably would say, thank you so much, but why don't you keep that? I think you need it more than I do. Why don't you use it for food later today? But Jesus doesn't do that. And I thought, why doesn't he do this? And this is so important. It's so important. It may be upside down. This is so important. You have to understand that. It's because Jesus is far more interested in what he wants for her than what God wants from her. Like, we tend to approach money, we tend to approach giving, we tend to approach it and say, well, what does God want from me? But we miss a life of generosity. It's not about what God wants from me. It's actually about what God wants for me. That amazing things happen in us and through us when we steward and unleash $1 at a time. And God wants some things to happen in us. And in order for that to happen in us, it has to happen through us. I think Jesus understood this. Now we can look at this and we can say, yeah, it's just a 4-sentence story, but I want you to understand this. This 4-sentence story, here we are in 2021, has been used for years to inspire unleashing resources that have been a tremendous blessing to the poor, to the marginalized, to unleash new levels of being a voice for the voiceless, to see prodigals return home. From this particular moment, it's because Jesus looks at more differently than we look at more. When you come to the Old Testament, you enter into Psalms. There's this particular psalm. It's Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." In God's economy, it's like there's no such thing as more. In other words, because God owns everything, He doesn't need more. This is why I really do believe this, that whenever it comes to generosity, it's what God wants to do in us. God's not interested in raising money, ever. But what He is interested in doing is raising adopted sons and daughters who get the generous life He's given to them and who learn to steward and unleash generosity $1 at a time. Now, how does Jesus define more? Here's how He defines more. Jesus defines more not by the portion, but by the proportion. Not by the portion, but by the proportion. This is really, really significant. Don't miss this. This woman gives, and the amount is not greater than someone else, but the proportion in which she gives is. It represents all she has. It represents a tremendous heart for God. Here's another way of saying it. Jesus defines more not by the sum, but by the sacrifice. In 2003, I was finishing up seminary at Alliance Theological Seminary in New York. I was working for a really large church, and I hadn't started that long ago. There were thousands of people. It's hard to get people's names. And I knew that God was inviting me to plant a church. And so I asked some people to help me to discover people who may want to invest in this new work. And they told me about someone. His name is Walt. They told me that Walt is very wealthy and Walt would be the right person. I didn't know what I was doing. I sit down as best as I could. I shared the mission and vision. I was trembling. I was nervous. I asked Walt if he'd be a part of investing. Now, I don't know Walt's personal life. I do know that he was known as being an extremely wealthy man. Walt said, "I'd be happy to help." I was so excited about that. He sent me a check for $50. Not $50 a month, a total of $50. Now, don't get me wrong, I was really grateful for that, but it wasn't what I expected. God often works in ways that we don't expect, through means that we didn't expect. In meets Janet Carnevale. I didn't know Janet well. She heard about what I was doing through someone else, and she said, "I think I'd love to invest." Janet worked retail. She was in her late 50s, early 60s. She said, "I want to talk to you about it, but in order to do that, I got to teach you how to dress." She had a faded Oldsmobile, and we got in and drove to Sears, and she bought me clothes and said, I think you need some work on how you dress." She said, "I'd like to be a part of your support team." And from that point forward, for the next 3 years, Janet gave $250 a month. Now, again, it may not seem like a big deal for most of us. It was huge for me. I ended up working 3 jobs, having multiple roommates, and that $250 made such a big difference in my life. And I thought about Janet because Janet decided to work extra hours in order to do that. So moved by it. Unfortunately, in the first few years of our church, I couldn't call Janet and tell her about someone who had come to know Jesus because not really anyone had. I got so tired of baptizing people from other people's churches, and I felt like, "God, what are we doing? Are we even making a difference?" And I lost contact with Janet somewhere around year 3. 15 years into that church, and it's still going now, we've had the privilege of getting to see well over 2,000 people give their life to Jesus. I've never had the opportunity to thank Janet. But Janet understood something about money. She taught me something about money. In God's economy, when we steward and unleash generosity, $1 at a time, it's not about the sum. It's about the sacrifice. It's what moves the heart of God. What gets the attention of God is not what gets the attention of our culture here on earth. Such a powerful moment in my life, and I've often thought about a local church, that a local church is not about having equal gifts, it's about equal sacrifice. And I guess I tell you, I've been so moved, and I'm so grateful for the generosity of our church. You inspire me with your generosity. If you don't know, we are entering into year 3 in this place, which means if you're new here with us, we are just getting started. And we believe that the best is yet to come. But when I slow down and I think about even our church, your generosity is inspiring. Last year, we were able to give $30,000 toward local and regional and global missions work. You allowed us to feed local hospital workers who are pioneering in the midst of COVID, and we will do that again this year. You allowed us to partner with others and help provide 500 Thanksgiving dinners for families. You allowed us to provide Christmas presents for struggling families in Clarkston, Georgia. You allowed us to plant churches and invest in international workers through your generosity. You inspired me. And I believe so much of that giving was sacrificial. And again, we're just getting started. I've been praying this over our church. Let us be a church that unleashes generosity and stewards what we have, $1 at a time. Let us have a heart that gets that it's not about the sum, it's about the sacrifice. And this is where I think we miss it. Oh, do I think we miss it? But this woman got it. It's about a heart of generosity toward God. It's not about an obligation. It's about an opportunity. By the way, this is one of the reasons why when people are a part of investing here financially, we say, welcome to the generosity team. Because we believe that God wants to radically unleash generosity in and through Generous Church, in and through Genesis Church. And I think there is so much evidence of the way in which God rewards generosity. Because we often think about amounts and think about noise when God, I really do think, rewards the sacrificial hearts. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." I don't fully understand it, but I don't have to fully understand it to fully believe it. I think this is the way God loves to work. If you're new to Genesis Church or you're new to following Jesus, you may wonder, because you've heard words like tithes and offerings, and you're wondering, what is that all about? Well, I would say, at the end of the day, this is one of the ways that God uses to train our heart and our life toward generosity, that we steward and unleash generosity $1 at a time. And what tithing is all about, in the Old Testament it begins, it's a principle. It's a principle of taking 10% of what God has given to us and giving it back to His work. And in the Old Testament, it was in a synagogue. In the New Testament, it becomes a local church. It's as if someone's saying, God, you blessed me so much, and as a result of your blessings, I'm just returning a portion back to you. And here's what it did. It protects, it guides, and it aligns our heart so that we are aligning our heart with kingdom values and kingdom vision. It protects us from the things that we possess possessing us. It wages war on a mentality that we are entitled and helps us see that we are actually entrusted. Because remember, it's not that God wants something from you, it's that God wants something for you. He's not interested in raising money, But he is interested in raising adopted sons and daughters who get that Jesus is the risen King. And an offering is anything that is above a tithe, a contribution to somewhere in some way, to see people loved and cared for. And it's done first, by the way, which I think is interesting. For a long time, I didn't understand this. The reason why it was organized first, and remember going all the way back to where we began, that giving was first, because it was an aspect of worship. It was a way of saying, no, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. And it's training our hearts to be people who unleash generosity with our lives. It's not about an obligation, but it is about an opportunity. And so I leave you with this challenge. And the challenge simply is to unleash generosity in 2021 in your life, $1 at a time. If you have never given before in your entire lives, well, the good news is I gave you $1. You can use that $1 and you can give today. And if you don't believe in what we're doing here, well, use that dollar to bless someone or something you believe in. If you're here and you call this place home and maybe you're just starting out in this journey and you're wondering, you're saying, man, I've been praying about this for a while and we actually, percentage-wise, we're giving 4%. I would say, praise God. I would say you're training your heart in generosity. And I would say wherever you're at, just consider your next step. We believe in training our hearts toward generosity, that it's not just about sums, it's about sacrifice. Because this story in Luke chapter 21, it ministers to us. It informs the way we unleash our resources. So wherever you're at, one of the things that our family does is we look every year at the way in which we invested and unleashed generosity. And we pray, God, will you give us an opportunity to do more? We want to be people who steward and unleash what you've given to us. Now, let me just say this. Is it easy? No. I'll take you back to that moment of planting a church. I worked 3 jobs for the first 4 years, had the privilege of being a part of a wonderful team. And I was financially really in a very interesting place. I remember the first time that I wrote a tithe check. And to be honest with you, I cried the entire time that I wrote it. But I knew that if we were ever going to have a generous church, then I'd have to practice generosity. And it became now such a joy for me. It's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. Can I speak to some of the dads in the room? When you're playing such a pivotal role in your family and you're wondering, what does it look like to really lead my family well? This is just one of those ways. If you ever want a generous family, well, it starts by being a person of generosity, stewarding and unleashing $1 at a time. In 2021, we're going to take it one day at a time, making one decision at a time, unleashing $1 at a time to make a difference in one person at a time. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this no-name, impoverished woman who informs our understanding in 2021. She encourages and inspires us. And I pray over everyone listening that you would unleash generosity in and through our lives, that you might free us, that we truly might get what it looks like to be a part of your greater and bigger story and learn to trust you with everything, including the resources we have, that we might steward and unleash $1 at a time in 2021. And in the name of Jesus we pray, amen.